Hey everyone, before we get into this quick hit, we want to talk about a little project we're doing for the Baker's Dozen. We're going to ask you to send in clips that you record at the MSG run, either before the show, during set break, or after the show. Can be you talking just into the microphone to your phone about what you're hearing and or what you saw. You could be talking to a neighbor, or friend, loved one, etc. Or just discussing the show with people you meet. What we're going to do is try to get people to submit those less than 1 minute, put some of them together for the quick hits. So if you're interested, you can just use, you know, any recording app on your phone, talk to your seatmate at set break, right before the show, as you're walking out, talk to people on the street, whatever you want to do, be creative and keep it fun, and keep those clips under a minute and send them via email to helpingfriendlypodcast@gmail.com. And we'll pull some out and put them into the quick hits that we're going to be doing for Baker's Dozen. So if you would like to send your quick hit, just email it to helpingfriendlypodcast@gmail.com. All right, enjoy. Hey everyone, this is the Helping Friendly Podcast. This is the quick hit from July 19th in Pittsburgh, and we're here with Risher, who went to the show last night and even got to sleep in his own bed after. Hey man, thanks for joining us.
Oh yeah, no sweat, RJ. Good to be here.
So you live in the Pittsburgh area, obviously.
Yeah. My wife and I have been here for a couple of years for her grad school program. We're from New England mostly, but we've been in Pittsburgh for a few years, and lucky to get a hometown show before we move back.
Awesome. And what was the scene like ahead of time down there? Was it, I know it's on part of the Pitt campus, right? Was there a big scene, lots and all that, or was it mostly just people going into the venue?
Yeah, you know, we actually missed out a little bit on the pre-show stuff. We were in Dayton the night before and stayed with some friends and had kind of a leisurely breakfast, and we sort of rushed in to get in. But it's a great location. Like, there's a ton of hotels around there and places to eat, and, you know, they always play Burgettstown, and they never play in Pittsburgh, and I think they should do it more because it's a great spot. I heard there was a shakedown and there was some stuff going on, but we missed out on it.
And nice to actually have an indoor show at this time in the summer.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And this venue is fantastic. Like, and it was such a contrast from the night before at Dayton. You know, Dayton's old and, you know, they've learned a lot about how to make arenas since the Nutter was built.
Right.
This one was, yeah, and this one was great. It was new. There was lots of space. You know, everything was spaced out well. Not a bad seat in the house. And the staff was super courteous. And it was easy in and easy out. It was a really great place. Like, they should play it more because it's a perfect fish venue.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about the first set, about your highlights and what your thoughts were.
Yeah, so, you know, a great 1-2-3 out of the gate of My Soul, NICU, and Haley's. A lot of Page in there at the beginning, which is great. But Undermine was sort of the first, like, highlight. You know, some good jamming in there. Trey doing some echo. And I sort of like those slinky 2.0 jams. So I like the Undermine. Divided Sky, if you're a Divided Sky fan, this is a really, really well-played version.
Yeah,
Trey,
yeah.
Like, yeah, he crushes it, especially towards the end. The sustained notes and that composed section at the end is just, you know, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's my wife's favorite song, and if they're really trying to not repeat stuff, she's going to be disappointed seeing only a few shows in the middle of Baker's Dozen, but I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's my wife's favorite song, too.
So oh, nice.
Every time I hear it, yeah. And then they played a new song, or a My Song, that I didn't know, you know, that was good enough. I like the one from Dayton, that new one, a little bit better. But and then home, again, some good jamming, a little bit of the echo. And then, you know, of course, like the highlight of the set is the Caspian. And it's just, you know, it was incredible. You know,
yeah.
probably the best Caspian ever. Only, you know, maybe one other that we could talk about rivaling it.
yeah.
But yeah,
how,
go ahead.
How was the home? I really like home, but I'm curious about the energy, and were people pretty psyched about it, or was it just sort of like, did it feel like a filler song?
No, it was good. It had good energy. You know, it sort of starts and it feels kind of like a filler song, but then that song sort of takes off, and, you know, the red lights came out, and you know, there was a nice jam out of it. I really felt like it could have gone farther, and it felt like they shifted gears and they could have taken it farther, but then they shifted into Caspian, and, you know, we can't complain about where they went from there.
Yeah.
But I look forward to seeing that song really get stretched out a little bit.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And the Caspian was it was pretty interesting. It was, it went a couple different places. What were your thoughts during the song and as it was kind of going?
Yeah, so, you know, it's sort of been two parts, right? So, you know, we get Caspian coming in, and they sort of take it to a great little peak fest. And, you know, that could have been it, and that would have been great. But then they brought it back down, and they shifted gears, and they went into this sort of darker, sort of Pink Floyd-type space, and then took it back to the top again. And that second half is really unique and really tight and, you know, dark and soaring, and it was really, really excellent. And the place was just going nuts. And by the time they started, you know, screaming out the Caspian at the end, the white lights and the whole crowd just yelling back at them, it was, you know, it was an amazing way to end the set. You know, we'll be listening to that for a long time.
Yeah, that must have, the energy from what I think I saw a brief clip from the end of the set, and it seemed like the energy was pretty high going into set break. What was it like at set break? Were people pretty fired up?
Oh, yeah. Well, we all had to sit down, man. We had been hitting it really hard. You know, and just like pumping. I mean, they peaked so hard in that Caspian over and over again, and people were just like about to jump out of their seats, you know. Energy was high, you know, us dudes getting a little old and achy, you know, have to sit down and take a rest.
Yeah, so, yeah, totally.
Yeah, but it was great, and everybody was just, you know, high-fiving and feeling good at set break.
Nice. It's nice to see this early into a you know, tour, or if you want to call it a tour. But what were your thoughts on the second set opener? Pretty unexpected. Or I guess, sorry,
not
the opener, but the second song. Sorry.
Mr. Completely. Yeah, totally. No, yeah, we get a nice punch, and then Mr. Completely, and total surprise. You know, I guess they played it once in Utah in 2003.
Yeah, which is an amazing, amazing version.
Right.
One of my favorites.
Right. Yeah, I didn't make it out to those, but and the jam was good. It's sort of like for the first chunk of it, like the first 13 minutes, it's sort of, you know, it moves along, it's sort of patient, and then about 13 minutes in, they kick it up into fifth gear and take it to a really nice peak. But I'll tell you what, one thing, being there, Chris Kuroda's new rig is fantastic, and everybody, if you haven't been out to a show yet, you're in for a treat, because the way his new rig works with all of the individual pulleys and these smaller trusses, he can move it around in this really fantastic way. And in Mr. Completely, there was this one moment where the entire rig was on a diagonal across the stage. And, you know, he can make all these really amazing shapes with the light that it's a new dimension to the lights. And I think we're going to see him play around with that a little bit more.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've heard a lot of people talking about it, and then with MSG too, how he's sort of taken it to the next level at the Garden. Who knows what's in store there, right?
Yeah, well, and what's really great about it too is like in some of these venues where it's sort of on all sides, you know, so they're playing MSG and you've got the rear. This setup makes it so the stage is actually really open, especially when he takes them up high. There's just tons of space between the band and the lights. And so there's no blocked view from the back. Those LED screens last year, I think would have made the dozen kind of a pain in the butt if you were in the back.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, really great. And then we had Mercury, which is great. You know, a lot of people really love Mercury. It's sort of growing on me. You know, great jam out of it. And the Stag into Come Together, is that what it's called? The new song?
Yeah, it's called Rise Up, Rise / Come Together is how it's listed on the
right.
Just Tracks.
Right, right. And so the Stag into that is fantastic. Like, you know, because I didn't recognize the song, I just thought the jam was shifting gears and then, you know, they dropped into a new song. And that song, you know, it probably needs a little bit of time of them playing it together, but it ended really strong. Again, super powerful close. It sort of didn't matter what they played last night. Like, they sort of took everything and played really good versions of them and, you know, had great peaks and so much fun. Really great.
Nice.
And then Contact. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. That's great.
Okay. Yeah, then Contact coming outside of the encore for the first time in a while. And that was great. And they were clearly having so much fun. They flubbed the lyrics, I think, a couple of times, and we're just laughing at each other. They were clearly having a good time. Axilla, nice energy thrown back into the set, more fist pumping. And then Steam, which I really love, strong jam out of that. And then a really great exclamation point of a number line, like the jam out of number line is fantastic.
Yeah, it's really really
great. Really good. You know, a lot of people groan when they hear those first chords of number line, but man, they really know how to play that song now, and the jams that come out of it. And that one last night is a real gem. So give it a listen if you haven't.
Yeah, it's a really good, really good one. And then a three song encore, which is funny because I was thinking this morning as I was listening to it, you know, if they are doing the no repeats thing, I don't know. We should talk about that, but to kind of waste three songs in an encore seems crazy, but maybe they just, I don't know. I guess, what were your thoughts on the encore? And then tell me your thoughts on what's going on with the no repeats, and do you think it's going to continue?
Yeah, sure. You know, a great three-song encore. I think actually things people do in that slot of like the first of a multiple encore is great. It was fun. We had a good time, and we knew there would be something else after it. And then I thought Bug would be it, and I was like, oh, okay, great. And then Rocky Top coming out, that's been on my list. That's my, like, most common not played in over 100 shows. I've never heard Rocky Top.
Wow, so
that
cool.
Yeah, so that was awesome to get that as the capper on an already great evening. And it was a strong, you know, strong version. And then, you know, as far as the no repeats, you know, I don't know. I have sort of ceased trying to guess what these guys are up to because I predict and I'm always wrong. Yeah, exactly, right? They're playing a game of three-dimensional chess that I just don't know how to engage in. You know, I think it would be a really strong move of them to come out and do all these shows and do 13 and not repeat. And maybe, you know, on the last night cover a Billy Joel tune. and, you know, call it a day.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be great.
I guess they have the songs, right? We're going to talk about this a little more on our HF Pod Plus episode that we're going to put out this weekend. But, I mean, they have the songs to do it, right? 13 more shows. I guess they could do it. I just, man, it seems so hard to imagine because they played so many songs so far.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. People saying maybe they're not going to repeat the whole tour. I would think it might be more likely they just might not repeat during the dozen. And like some of these songs that we're seeing brushed off here at the beginning, sort of a way to pad the repertoire, mm-hmm, get some practice of some new things. And so like start the dozen fresh and, you know, some of these that we've already seen, you know, coming back in there. But, you know, exciting prospect. You know, I think we're in for a treat in New York.
And will you be seeing any more shows?
Yeah. I'm doing the first weekend of the dozen, and then I got to come back to Pittsburgh and take care of a few things, and then I'll be back for the second weekend. And
cool.
That'll be it for me. We're moving on the last weekend from Pittsburgh back to Massachusetts. So, going to miss out on that, but maybe we'll see you guys on the second weekend. I know Trey's coming to your meetup, right?
That's the worst rumor ever, but maybe people will keep mentioning it on here. But yeah, if you can come on the 29th, you should. It'd be nice to meet you in person.
Glad
you were able to catch some shows, and you'll be able to catch some more. And we appreciate you joining us, and people who are listening, tell us what your theories are about this. It's pretty intriguing so far. There have been no repeats, so I'm just curious what people are thinking. I know there's some crazy, crazy theories out there, but I'd love to hear from others. But, Richard, thanks so much for joining us. And I guess we'll send people out with a clip. What do you want to play for everyone?
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to play some Caspian. Play the second half of the jam from Caspian towards the end. I don't know how much you're going to play, but
perfect.
Yeah, definitely Caspian.
All right, we'll do it. We'll do it. Thanks, man.
Hey, nice talking to you, RJ. Thanks for having me on, and I look forward to meeting you.
All right, take care.